Did you know that Jesus was Jewish? You might be asking, what does that mean for your Christian faith?
Watch today and discover how understanding the Jewish roots of your faith and your connection to Israel and the Jewish people
can transform your life and the way you read the Bible. Coming up on Jewish Voice. Shalom and welcome to Jewish Voice. I'm so glad you're joining us today. I'm Jonathan Burness, and I'm joined again by my co-host, Ezra Benjamin. If you've been watching this program for any length of time, you're probably interested in the Jewish roots of your Christian faith. Well, today we're going to be explaining some Jewish practices and help you to understand what they are and how they're used. So, Ezra, we're going to be talking about the Torah. We're going to be talking about the mezuzah.
Right.
We're going to be talking about the talis or prayer shawl.
The talit, yes.
The talit, and we're going to be talking about the shofar.
Correct.
So let's dig in. Where do we start?
Well, let's start with the Torah. It's
good.
Front and center, Jonathan.
Good.
I have another one right here.
But we'll open this.
This is kind of a miniature example what you've probably seen if you've ever visited a synagogue, or maybe you've seen it on TV or pictures. This literal sheepskin scroll. Sometimes it can be 20, 30 pounds or more. And the image you may be familiar with is a rabbi or a Jewish congregant actually carrying this, or sometimes even dancing, parading a Torah around a synagogue. And if that's happening, people are reaching out, and sometimes they're kissing the Torah, they're touching their hand to the scroll and then touching their hand to their lips, and there's great joy, there's dancing with this scroll. Jonathan, we've been asked from some of our viewers, one person actually said, is this idolatry? What are you doing parading a scroll? We're supposed to be worshiping the Lord. It looks like the Jewish people are worshiping the sheepskin or the scroll that the words of God are written on. And what's going on there? What's so significant about the Torah?
Let me mention what's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the worship of a scroll. It's a recognition of that the words of the scroll are the foundation of Jewish faith. So what do we have written in Hebrew on these sheepskins? We have, and this one's amazing. It's amazing that you have this tiny Hebrew.
Right.
But first of all, this is handled with great care. Mm-hmm. It's all completely written by hand, and if there's a mistake, they actually have to start that page over again.
Right.
And I don't know if you've ever seen a scribe actually writing by memory every word, and it's just perfectly
done.
It's
amazing.
And this is the transmission of the Torah from generation to generation, from century to century, and we're upholding the Word of God. This is the foundation of our faith. And when I say our faith,
right,
Ezra, I'm not only talking about the faith of the Jewish people, the faith of those that are followers of the Messiah.
That's right.
You've been grafted into a heritage. You've been grafted into a people. You have been grafted into a system of belief that's rooted in the first five books of Moses.
That's right.
So it's important to mention what's on this scroll in Hebrew are the first five books of Moses.
Genesis to Deuteronomy.
Genesis through Deuteronomy. So we're not worshiping the scroll.
Right.
We're recognizing that the word is a lamp to our feet, that this provides for us the foundation for our faith. It lays out the laws of God. It lays out the path that we're to take. It gives us the history of the fall of man, the history of Abraham, the father of the Jewish faith, the rich history of all of the patriarchs.
Right. Jonathan, I'm thinking of Romans 3, actually. Paul is speaking to a predominantly non-Jewish audience, the church in Rome, and he starts chapter 3 by saying, what advantage then hath the Jew? What advantage does a Jewish person have? And it says, firstly, or chiefly in some translations, that unto the Jewish people, unto Israel, were given the very words of God, the oracles of God. And so Paul's making it clear that one of the ways that God set apart the Jewish people was he gave the Jewish people a responsibility to receive directly from him through Moses and the prophets, and then from generation to generation to replicate exactly according to the words he spoke, his living word, you know, his eternal word. So that's our responsibility as a people.
You know, I think of Romans chapter 9, where Paul says that he would give up his very salvation, his eternity for his own people.
Right.
And then he lists the contributions of the Jewish people,
right,
not only to the world, but specifically to those that are reading.
That's right.
His epistle, believers, Christians.
Sure.
And he says they were entrusted with the oracles of God.
Mm-hmm.
They handed down to us the word of God. So
right.
We believe that the Torah is foundational for the revelation that follows. The Torah is the bedrock for the prophets. If the prophets spoke anything other than what was revealed in the Torah,
sure,
they were false prophets. So we have the prophetic writings that are based or on top of the bedrock of Torah.
Of the Torah, yeah.
You have the writings, and then, of course, you have the New Covenant, the Brit Hadashah,
right,
the New Testament that is written almost entirely by Jewish followers of Jesus.
That's right.
But again, rooted in the Torah. And Paul
right.
repeatedly is quoting from both the Torah and the prophets.
Yeah, and Jesus himself said, "Don't think that I've come to abolish the law until heaven and earth pass away. Not the slightest, not the smallest mark on this scroll will pass away. I haven't come to destroy it, but to fulfill it." Jesus is the living fulfillment of God's law, of God's intent.
Ezra, just back to the original question. When you enter a synagogue and you see the Ner Tamid, the eternal light,
mm-hmm.
and then the ark, that's housing the Torah or numerous Torahs.
That's right.
But it demonstrates the importance of the Torah to Judaism.
Exactly.
That we hold the law in high regard.
Right.
And that is the basis for our faith. We are therefore the people of the book.
Exactly.
Now, sadly, that doesn't mean that all Jewish people know what's in the Torah, what's in the book,
mm-hmm.
but we are the people of the book, and we have faithfully handed that down
right.
through the centuries.
So we're not worshiping the scroll. We're worshiping the God, the creator of heaven and earth, who gave us the scroll.
And we're following his instruction to
exactly.
the best of our ability.
Jonathan, let's go a little deeper on this idea of the law and whether it's still in effect today for a minute. You know, we hear from, I'll say, an alarmingly large number of pastors, Christians, leaders, there was the time for the law and now it's time for grace. And God's done with the law when Jesus showed up. I don't see that in the scriptures. Do you?
I don't, but let me tell you what I do see
sure.
and what I think the confusion,
sure.
What's why there is confusion. What we're no longer under is the curse of the law. We're mm-hmm. no longer being judged by the works of the law, mm-hmm. by grace we're saved through
right.
faith.
Right.
Every Messianic Jew, legitimate Messianic Jew, Jewish follower of Jesus that I know, Ezra,
sure.
certainly every leader, is very clear that we're saved by grace, not
by the works of the law. Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean, though, that we don't partake of our traditions, that we don't
sure.
observe our traditions and our customs. Just as Paul and all the disciples did. They're important. So the law has not been abolished. The law hasn't been done away with. It's our relationship to the law that's
right.
changed. And I want to read a scripture about this that I think really brings this home. And it's a prophetic scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to ask that we put it up on the screen. It's found in Jeremiah chapter 31. I love this. It's one of my favorite scriptures. It says this, "The time is coming," this is in verse 31 of chapter 31, "the time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant," this is the New Testament,
mm-hmm.
"with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." This is initially made with the people of Israel.
Right.
And then Gentiles are grafted into this. "It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them."
Hmm.
So it's talking about the Mosaic Law, the
right.
five books of Moses, but the Mosaic Law. "This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after that time. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts." So we see Jewish people, this is so exciting to me.
Right.
So we see Jewish people, especially the more Orthodox they are, dancing with the Torah, holding the Torah, reading from it every week, revering Torah, which is the Word of God, not worshiping it, but understanding that this is the basis for our faith.
We're worshiping the giver of the Torah.
We're worshiping the giver, but the day is coming, and we've entered into that as Jewish believers, when we're no longer under the weight of that law, but it's written in our hearts. So
that's
the
right.
Torah doesn't disappear. It actually is written in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That's what happens when we become believers in Jesus. The Torah is written on our hearts. So we don't have it just externally, but it's now internalized.
Right.
So it doesn't, it's not done away with. We're just simply
God
not
under
it. God
has made a way for us to fulfill the Torah through Yeshua because he's written the very words of God on our heart.
It's not abolished. The proximity
it's
has
fulfilled
changed.
Fulfilled in Yeshua in us.
That's right.
Yeah.
So from here to here, I love that.
Amen.
We need to take a quick break. When we return, we're going to be looking at the next item that we want to talk about, the prayer shawl called a talit. We'll discuss what it means and that it represents a biblical command. But first, I'm going to turn it over to our announcer who's going to share how Jewish Voice is being used to share the gospel with the lost tribes of Israel around the world.
Your own Jewish roots are revealed in the fully illustrated book, Enter His Gates. It's a reference tool to look up specific festivals, blessings, and the physical items related to the heritage of our faith. But it's also a book to read straight through. Your questions will be answered, your curiosity rewarded. For your gift of $40 or more, Jonathan will send you the book and the gold scroll mezuzah. Post it on the doorframe of your home as a reminder of God's love and how he guards your comings and goings. Become a new Shalom partner with your gift of $30 a month, and we'll send you the book, the mezuzah, plus this fully functional ram's horn and wooden stand. Displayed in place of honor, your shofar will be a gift and a call to action for your entire family. Your generous support honors your own Jewish roots and delivers the truth of the gospel to Jewish people and their neighbors around the world. Will you join with the thousands of other faithful believers and become a Shalom partner? Call this toll-free number or mail your gift to the address on the screen. If you prefer, you can give securely online at jewishvoice.tv or scan the QR code. Celebrate and honor your own Jewish roots and God's faithfulness.
Welcome back. In my hands, I have a prayer shawl. It's called a talit. And Ezra and I are going to discuss this in just a minute. But first, we want to say thank you to all of you who partner with us, especially our Shalom monthly partners. Your ongoing support allows us to continue to reach Jewish people all over the world in lost tribe communities, remote places like Ethiopia and Zimbabwe. Without you, we could not do this. So
that's right.
Thank you.
Thank you so
We're
much.
So grateful to you. Ezra, talk about what I'm holding here.
Yeah, as you said, it's a prayer shawl. It's called a talit, okay? And it's wrapped around the shoulders when a more observant Jewish person would pray. It's really, it's an article of worship. And yet, Jonathan, the most important thing on the talit, the thing we actually see in the scriptures, in the Torah, isn't the shawl itself, it's the corners. So these are called tzitzit in Hebrew. It's a funny word, I know. It literally just means fringes. And this is from where God tells the children of Israel, make fringes on the corners of your garment. And the idea was, so when your hands brush against them as you walk along your way, every time you feel that or you see it, you'll remember the words of God and not go astray from following his commands.
So interesting, the rabbis have determined that there's 613 commandments.
Right.
And there's a knot for every commandment. So we're reminded of the commandments.
Right.
But back to the tzitzit, we know that they wore these fringes in the first century.
Correct.
The woman with the issue of blood actually, it's really clear when you look at the text, she grabbed the hem of his garment.
Yep.
She wasn't grabbing his garment. She was grabbing the tzitzit.
That's
and
right.
The power of God came through Yeshua, through the tzitzit.
It's amazing.
And healed the woman. This is also known as the robe of responsibility. Mm. And so we take this very seriously. When we put this on to pray, we're serious about prayer. So this is something that is a really important part of of our faith,
That's
of Jewish faith. And although we make these available, specifically ones that are handmade by our Ethiopian believing community, this is used for some strange things.
It is. Jonathan, we've seen it as tablecloths. At one time, we saw people literally dancing on top of it. And while that might have been a significant moment for them, it's certainly never a way that a member of the Jewish community would use a tallit. It's an article of worship to be worn, to feel that weight of responsibility of worshiping and serving the Lord, and to remember His commandments.
That makes it holy. Holy simply being that it's set apart. So to actually use this in prayer and stamp on it is really not a great idea. It's not appropriate.
Not a great idea.
So we treat this with reverence.
That's
the prayer shawl. We got to move on.
We got to move
Lots
right
more
along.
To talk
we're
about
trucking
more
here.
In the book about this.
Jonathan, a mezuzah. Now this relates to the Torah in the sense that a specific passage of Scripture is inside every mezuzah scroll, and this is the great recitation of faith for the Jewish people. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And also that mandate that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's written on a Hebrew scroll and then rolled up and placed inside a mezuzah. And so the word mezuzah may sound a little bit funny to you, but it's literally from God's command to put the word of God on the doorposts of your house. Okay, so the doorposts is mezuzot, on the doorposts of your house, and so the singular form of that is a mezuzah. Mezuzah, and here it is. A Jewish family will, and you'll see this in the United States or if you're from another country, if you go to a Jewish family's house, more often than not, you're going to see this on the front door. And what's happening is we're literally putting the words of God, that great recitation of faith, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, on the doorposts of our house. So when we enter our house and when we walk out to go on a journey, we remember His word.
Ezra, let me dovetail on that and say this is a direct fulfillment of literal Scripture from Deuteronomy 6.
Right.
And we'll put it up on the screen after the Shema, which is the single most important confession for the people of Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, or He alone is God. We're to love God with all our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. Jesus said these were the most important commandments. Verse 6 says, and look at it on the screen with me, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in the home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates.
That's right.
That's literally what we're fulfilling, and I encourage Christians to do it. I think it's a great thing to demonstrate we're law abiders here.
That's right.
Who love God with all our heart, soul, and strength and believe in God alone.
That's right. And it can accomplish two purposes. One, you can demonstrate that you're standing in solidarity with the Jewish people. And secondarily, you can remember for Jewish and Gentile followers of the Lord, there's no difference. We all trust that the Lord guards our going in and our going out, our going forth now and forevermore.
Yeah. So, and the shin, we could talk about the shin. We'll have to hold on that. We don't have time.
Right.
But that shin represents God
that
Almighty.
That Hebrew letter.
That Hebrew letter.
That three-prong Hebrew letter.
That three-prong letter. And it means that God is guarding the doorposts of your house.
Amen.
So I really recommend you do it. We have one more quickly.
Seconds left, Jonathan.
Time.
The shofar. This is literally a ram's horn. It accomplishes three purposes in Jewish tradition. One is to call the Jewish people, to call Israel to attention. The second is to call us to repentance. And the third, when we hear the sound of the shofar, is to remember that there's a king on His throne in heaven, and it's not you or me. It's the Lord Almighty.
Amen.
Amen.
So Ezra, I love the shofar. I love blowing the shofar. I love what it symbolizes. Again, it's a holy instrument, though.
That's right.
It's set apart. But there's some very appropriate uses for the shofar for Christians. But there's also some inappropriate uses for the shofar that I think we need to touch on.
Right. And, you know, Jonathan, somebody gets excited because their preferred team won the football game or the soccer match. That's not the time to blow a shofar. maybe a vuvuzela, you know, if you're into that, but not a shofar. This is really an instrument either of worship or of calling people to attention. So there's times when it might be blown celebratorily in a worship setting. I'm thinking in Jewish tradition in the year of Jubilee, right? That every 50 years, debts are canceled. And the idea was, when you hear the sound of the shofar, it means those who were in bondage and servitude to others were suddenly free. So it can be a sound of freedom and deliverance.
Surely.
As an example of celebration. But more than that, I think more often, it's really a solemn sound. It's a wake-up call, not to be taken lightly.
Yeah. It actually has so many different meanings. It calls the people of God to prayer,
right.
But it also warns people of impending doom. And when mm-hmm. we sing that song, Blow the Shofar in Zion, as a victory march,
right.
We're taking it out of context because it's actually signaling a coming destruction, disaster.
That's right, judgment, a time of judgment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, that passage is actually from Joel, right? I think that's so much of what we talk about on this program, Jonathan, is that part of understanding the Hebrew roots of our faith is to take things in their appropriate context. So if you love the shofar, that's awesome. Just understand the appropriate times and circumstances when it should be blown, and then maybe some less appropriate times when it shouldn't.
Yeah, it's not something that's to be blown while a speaker or a preacher is giving their message. That's not the time.
And we've seen it. We've heard that.
We've seen
maybe
that
you've
too
heard
often.
That.
Yeah. People buy shofars from us, and they bring it to church, and they start blowing it inappropriate times. You really need to treat this with respect, with honor, and honor the rules of the congregation that you're part of. By the way, this is the ram's horn. This is the original
right.
shofar. This is the kudu, which is used by the Sephardic community, also a shofar, but from a different animal. Mm-hmm. Both are acceptable. We need to step away again for another minute. Our announcer is going to share some opportunities with you that we hope that will move you to partner with us. But stay tuned because we're going to be praying together for your needs when we return. We'll be right back.
Your own Jewish roots are revealed in the fully illustrated book, Enter His Gates. It's a reference tool to look up specific festivals, blessings, and the physical items related to the heritage of our faith. But it's also a book to read straight through. Your questions will be answered, your curiosity rewarded. For your gift of $40 or more, Jonathan will send you the book and the gold scroll mezuzah. Post it on the doorframe of your home as a reminder of God's love and how He guards your comings and goings. Become a new Shalom partner with your gift of $30 a month, and we'll send you the book, the mezuzah, plus this fully functional ram's horn and wooden stand. Displayed in place of honor, your shofar will be a gift and a call to action for your entire family. Your generous support honors your own Jewish roots and delivers the truth of the gospel to Jewish people and their neighbors around the world. Will you join with the thousands of other faithful believers and become a Shalom partner? Call this toll-free number or mail your gift to the address on the screen. If you prefer, you can give securely online at jewishvoice.tv or scan the QR code. Celebrate and honor your own Jewish roots and God's faithfulness.
Ezra, we've been talking about the different items in Judaism, and in particular the Torah.
Right.
And I'm thinking of something that it says in Torah, and that is that the children of Israel wandered through the desert for 40 years. Their shoes never wore out. They were protected from sickness. They were fed supernaturally.
They were led by a cloud by day to keep them cool from the sun and a fire by night so they didn't freeze.
A supernatural God revealed in the foundational books of Scripture, the Torah, and that's what we're believing for you for today. A supernatural God who will lead you. Some of you need to be led by the Lord. You need wisdom. You need direction. Some of you need divine provision. Some of you need healing. We get your prayer requests, and we know that there's many, and we're going to stand together with you. Where two or three agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done.
That's right.
So, Lord, we thank you, and just agree with us in prayer. Just let's stand in agreement. We pray to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the name of Yeshua. Lord, the same God who led the children of Israel by fire at night, by a cloud during the day, who fed the people supernaturally, who delivered the children of Israel and parted the Red Sea. We pray to you, O God, that you would meet the needs of those that have written to us, of those who are watching this program right now. We join our faith together and we declare it is done.
Amen.
In the name of Yeshua, making intercession for us. In his name, we pray to you, O God.
Amen.
In Yeshua's name.
Amen.
In Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Just receive it. And if you'd like more information about our ministry, you can log on to our website. It's jewishvoice.tv, one word, jewishvoice.tv. And also, you can send us your prayer request right on the website. We have a team here at Jewish Voice that is committed to praying for your request by name, and they will pray believing in the power of prayer and God's power to hear, his promise to hear. And more importantly, God cares about you and knows your need even before you have need of it. We love you, God loves you, and we want you to know that we're here for you. As we close our program, I want to remind you to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The Bible says, according to Psalm 122:6, they shall prosper who love thee. Until next time, this is Jonathan Burness and Ezra Benjamin saying shalom and God bless you.
Will you join Jewish Voice by becoming a Shalom partner? One of the best ways you can live out the opportunity and calling you have as a Christian to be a witness to the Jewish people is as a committed monthly Shalom partner. When you give monthly, 100% of your donations will go directly to our ministry work. Please prayerfully consider joining us as a Shalom partner today. Go to jewishvoice.tv to join now.